Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our second scripture this morning comes from Acts, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 16th verse. So we may be imprisoned by many things. Jesus' declaration that he had come to set the prisoners free can be interpreted for all of us, whether or not we have ever experienced being behind literal prison bars. This day, we will hear a resurrection story that moves from chains to freedom. We will reflect on how we can each step into freedom from whatever binds us. One day, when we, Paul and Silas, were going to the place of prayer, we met a female servant, slave, who had had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she was following Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaims to those of you the way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they were brought up before the magistrates, they said, "These men, these Jews, are disturbing our city and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us, being Romans, to be adopt or observe." The crowds joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. And after they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everybody's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he was supposed to keep the prisoners from that escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, and you and your household." They spoke the words of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. This, my friends, is the word of the Lord. So we continue our resurrection series. Last Easter, we looked at resurrection from death. But resurrection is more than just about rising from death. It's also about rebirth, revitalization, and renewal. All of this idea of resurrection from a place of death or despair into a new life. The Bible is full of resurrection stories. A reminder, I think, that God has a plan for each of us that involves resurrection. So this week's scripture is about all three types of resurrection: rebirth, revitalization, and renewal. The story begins with Paul and Silas, who are on Paul's second missionary trip to Philippi, when they encountered this slave girl. She's making a lot of money for her owners because she has been subject to a demon influence, and she has been given the ability to tell the future. This gift is very lucrative. You see, in the pagan culture of Philippi, diviners or soothsayers were quite common. As we've seen throughout the book of Acts, demonic activity disguised as magic was also in opposition to the gospel, but conquered time and time again by the power of God. So after many days of the slave girl's annoying shouting Paul's identity, Paul finally cast out the demon. And of course, as you heard, this angers the masters who had just left their fortune teller business. Greed and power rear their ugly heads, and Paul and Silas end up in prison again. The slave girl's experience is this resurrection, this rebirth, and we never hear from her again. I suspect her story is not as happily ever after as most of us would like it to be. The story moves on to part two, Paul and Silas in prison. Now, prisons in that time were included, and it was perfectly acceptable for physical torment, for the squalid conditions, for it to be awful. Very typical of the time. And the texts tell us that Paul and Silas have been beaten already, that they have been shackled, and they're sitting in this nasty, unclean conditions. And what are they doing? They are praying and they are singing to the Lord at midnight. Then an earthquake occurs. We don't know much other than it's an earthquake, my friends. But an earthquake occurs. All the prisoners are freed. Resurrection renewal occurs. Paul and Silas and the other prisoners are restored to a life outside the prison, and yet they stay. And then on to part three, the prison jailer, who's been given this task of guarding these very dangerous prisoners. And through no act of his own, he discovers the prisoners are free, and now his very life is in danger until he discovers everybody has stayed in the prison. He immediately connects the earthquake with the power of Paul and Silas' God. We don't know the whole resurrection story, but we do know that revitalization for he and his family are immediately experienced in a religious conversion that very evening. So all three of these little vignettes make me wonder, what holds us captive? Where do we need rebirth? Where do we need renewal? Where do we need revitalization? Oftentimes, I think we miss the idea of resurrection in the Bible, not because it's just not usually a nice story. There are multiple stories and multiple definitions, and we miss the fact that this resurrection stories remind us that when we get stuck, and all of us get stuck, whether it's being held captive physically because of an illness or something that has happened to us, whether mentally we struggle or emotionally, we get stuck. We're held captive by something. And this story, these stories, remind us that God has a different plan. So maybe you feel like that young slave girl, using your gifts, but never ever getting a reward of your own, working without the sense that you are free to say yes or no. That's not me. Scripture tells us resurrection, rebirth is a gift to you. Or maybe you're more like Paul and Silas and the other prisoners. You've created a situation, or you find yourself in a situation where you're bound up and you're kept in some kind of prison. It could be physical, but more likely it's emotional or spiritual. Renewal, resurrection renewal is always offered to you by Christ. Or perhaps you're like the jailer. This idea of being present and hearing a story, a new way of life that's opened eyes for you. Of thinking about what it means to sing and pray at midnight to God in places where the heaviness is holding you down. Resurrection, revitalization is always waiting for you in that life of Christ. You see, we are imprisoned by many things. Jesus' declaration that he has come to set the prisoner free can be interpreted for us all, whether we're literally experienced being held behind bars or not. Because you see, we are held captive by many things. Fear, anger, self-loathing, among so many other confining and restricting realities that can make challenges seem impossible to endure. But my friends, we are Easter people. We are not doomed to confinement. And what we do, even during imprisonment, can benefit us when we're freed. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.